Good morning, Your Honors. Ms. Devereaux, Gordon Freeze, the attorney for the defendant, Mark McIntyre. Now, we acknowledge that in the post-Booker world, the guidelines are only advisory, and the court has the discretion to sentence outside those guidelines. However, the courts have also held that the sentencing court must begin with a properly computed guideline range. The court in Cunningham said that the court must still first complete the sentencing guidelines as they did in pre-Booker. Then, and only then, does the court have the discretion to sentence either inside or outside the guidelines. And then that decision will only be reviewed for its reasonableness. However, several courts, including the court in Cunningham, Rita, Gall, Robinson, has stated that a closer review is required when the judge sentences based solely on the basis that the guidelines fail to reflect 3553A factors.
Now, Mr. Freeze, in this case, couldn't the court properly consider that but for the fortuitous timing of the forthwith sentence, his criminal history would brand him a career offender and subject him to 20 years. I mean, in other words, can we really state under all of these circumstances that 144 months is unreasonable when his conduct puts him so near to a potential 240 month sentence? I mean, this, but this fellow is really...
I understand.
Bad fellow.
I acknowledge that he's had a tremendous background. However, I would like to point out, first of all, that the majority of the basis for the court's sentence is based on an alleged threat that he made in jail. And I argue that he had already considered that under the government's motion to our objections to the PSR. If I may, the government filed both an objection to the PSR under 3C1, saying that he was should be given a two-level increase for an alleged threat that he made while he was in jail, that when he got out, he was going to kill the co-defendant's public defender.
Right. That kind of puts a little scare.
However, number one, the PSR, the probation office, when they did their PSR, was aware of that, and they felt and found that it was not significant enough to warrant a two-level increase. And the government based its objections primarily and reliance solely on the guidelines. All of the cases it cited were of the guidelines. It based the majority of its time on the objections to this threat. It attached a letter from one of the jailhouse snitches, and it even said that if he's not eligible for a two-level decrease for acceptance because of the threat under 3C1.
There are nearly a dozen crimes that he committed prior to 1991 that weren't even counted.
I understand, and I believe that that could have also been accounted for, Your Honor, if I may, because, again, if you look at the sentencing hearing, there were two sentencing hearings. The first was in September, at which time this whole issue was again brought up for the first time, and the court said specifically that if it makes a finding that the threats were made, the government's entitled to the 2 points for that threat. It reiterated that fact that if it's satisfied by a preponderance of the evidence that the threat was made, he's going to take that into consideration. Now, he continued the case from the hearing because the government did not have its jailhouse snitch there as a witness and wanted to continue the case so the government could present it. She had the letter from one of the jailhouse inmates, but the person was not there. So it was continued specifically for that purpose. When it resumed on October the 29th, the court again stated that the hearing was being reinstituted for the government to present evidence in support of its objections to the PSR and for the level increase for the threat. Now, the government then, though, said, well, you've got enough information to do that. We want to present these witnesses now for aggravating circumstances. The witnesses were produced. Testimony was given. The court granted my request for a two-level reduction for acceptance of responsibility. And if you will look, the government then turned around, the court, turned around and said it found by a preponderance of the evidence that a threat was made, and basing it primarily on the threat. He spent a lot of time talking about that threat. He sentenced him to 144 months. Now, in the statement of reasons, the court says it accepted the PSR. Now, the PSR says that there should not be a two-level increase for the threat. They say the threat was non-importance.
No, but it's the judge that, you know.
Right, but the judge is also saying he's accepting the PSR. The only thing that the judge did in doing that was so that my client was entitled to the two-level reduction. I believe that
he explored in his statements the long history that
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Judge Murphy explored the long history of your client's aggravated criminal activities. He didn't just stop at that threat.
No, I understand.
And also, he sentenced for one bank robbery, and it looks like he committed six over a four-month period.
And actually, if the judge had, because the judge also said it was granting the government's motion for upward departure under the guidelines. And now, if you had calculated according to the court in Cunningham, he was to properly first calculate the guidelines. Then he can make his decision. So if he calculated the guidelines correctly, then and gave my client the two-level reduction for acceptance and did not give him an increase because he for the obstruction of justice, because he couldn't do both, then if, though, he had wanted to take into consideration my client's background, he should have then calculated all of the priors, which I think would have came to a total of 17 criminal history points, put him at a Category 6, and his
17,
sentence would have
17,
run up
13
to about...
13 puts you into 6, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And 17 points would really exceed Category 6.
Which...
If there were a higher category, he would have been in it.
And then he would... But I believe that's what he should have done, but he didn't. And he said he felt satisfied that he properly calculated them. And I argue that if he properly calculated them, then he can't, in my opinion, and based, I think, on what the court says, he's already taken into consideration the threat because he's accepted what the probation office found. He says he accepted their PSR. He's accepting it. He's giving my client two levels for acceptance of responsibility. He denied the government's motion, objections to the PSR. He denied it. So I don't think he can turn around when their objections is based primarily on this threat and denies their objections to turn around and sentence them based on those threats. That's an inconsistency.
Well... I myself think he was pretty lucky.
And I again would argue that...
There was a real chance that, you know, it was going to be 240 months.
Your Honor, I again, though, feel that he had already sentenced my client. He had, again, argued and stated. He relied very heavily on these witnesses for threats. And I don't see how he can say, if he's properly calculated them, then he would have to have already considered the threat. Because the threat was the primary issue. The other issue was my client sent a letter to his girlfriend in jail saying, be quiet. Now, and don't talk on me. The government based their objections to the PSR on the threat. The hearing was continued so the government could bring witnesses in for the purpose of the threat. And then turn around and say, well, you've got enough. We'll use these people and the argument for aggravation. But the judge already said if he found by preponderance of the evidence in the record that he would give the government the two-level increase. Now, he did not. In fact, he gave my client a two-level decrease. So that is our position at this point. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Ms. Durbero, good morning.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Deirdre Durbero, Assistant United States Attorney out of the Southern District of Illinois. The bottom line is, Your Honors, that the Court properly calculated the guidelines. Although the government may not have agreed with the 3C1.1 enhancement that it should have applied, I don't think the Court could find that it was improperly calculated. The Court then adequately considered the factors of 3553A and then fashioned a sentence based upon those factors and considering them. So the threat, there were actually three.
Weren't there two aspects to the threat?
Exactly. I was just going to get to that.
And there's some statements
there
made.
There were several threats. The threat that the government pursued for the violation, at first I lumped all of them together. But by the time of the hearing and after having sorted it out and had the opportunity to see the pre-sentence addendum and their position on it, basically the 3C1.1 threat was contained in a letter that the defendant sent to the co-defendant saying, just don't cop out on me, or just don't cop out to anything and stop telling on me. That constituted one threat. That was the only issue for the 3C1.1. The additional threats that were presented for aggravation were the threat to the assistant federal defender where he threatened to kill her, and likewise the threat that he made against the co-defendant's children that he would kill them, and the threat he made against the witness in jail, the cooperator,
that
he would bust his head.
At the sentencing hearing, that was not part of...
No, Your Honor, that was part. All of that information was, in fact, presented at the sentencing hearing on October 29th of 07 for aggravation. The Court considered that, and I think what's getting confused here is that because the Court denied the 3C1.1 violation as to the one threat,
the one letter,
that he still could consider the other threats that were made. And in considering those threats, he's really looking at the true character of this person. Those threats show what this man has been about, and the Court also pointed out and acknowledged, and although the Court did not go through a specific litany of paragraphs 39 through 61 of the PSR, which specifically lines out each and every one of these convictions or arrests, the Court noted that he has an abusive history and a violent history. So the...
Did the assistant community defender lose their job over this? She was passing letters back and forth?
Yes, sir. Unfortunately, that occurred. What happened was both the defendants were charged by criminal complaint early on. They were charged in several criminal complaints. Oftentimes, the defender's office will represent the parties at an initial hearing for initial appearance or arraignment, and then they're assigned appointed counsel. The co-defendant, Brooke Ballou, asked the defender to pass a letter to the defendant. It was, I would say, probably somewhat of a, I love you, I miss you, hang in there kind of type letter, and she passed that. That was discovered, and the chief judge at the time, Judge Murphy, was extremely upset about that, as well as the marshal in the district, and rightfully so. And unfortunately, for Ms. Smith, it did cost her a job.
So it almost cost her life, and it also cost her her job. How did you get away scot-free? What are you doing here?
I guess I got to look out in the 12 years if this is affirmed. I think the Court fashioned a sentence that one could say is reasonable. Had the defendant been a career offender, as pointed out, he would have looked at a sentence of at a level 34, criminal history 6, 262 months, which would have exceeded the statutory max of 240. Even if he had been given the acceptance points at a level 32, he'd have been looking at 210 to, I believe, 262, which is right at the statutory max. So a sentence of 144 months is certainly more than reasonable and more than warranted on a case like this. The United States would ask that you affirm the sentence of the district court.
How old is he now?
The defendant? I believe he's roughly 48. think that was one of the issues that the district judge considered, to impose only a sentence that would necessarily protect the public, and he felt that a 12-year sentence should put this individual at such an age that hopefully he won't perpetrate any other violent crimes on anyone else.
Thank you, Mr. Brough.
Thank you.
Your time is up, but I'm going to give you a minute.
And again, I don't want to actually beat a dead horse, but I want to just reemphasize our position.
You wouldn't talk about dead anythings.
Your Honor, at my age, I shouldn't either. But the government filed its objection based on the threat. The hearing was held on the threat. If the court had not granted the continuance from their first sentencing hearing, the government would not have been separating out the threat, one threat from another. They jumped it all together. They based everything together. The hearing was continued for that verbal threat, and I still argue that the court was bound by what other courts have said to properly first calculate the guidelines. If he has properly calculated them, then I argue he cannot use that threat because of the fact that it was considered and rejected. He accepted a PSR which says he didn't say that he accepted it with qualifications except for the fact that he granted my client a two-level increase. And thank you.
Well, thank you, because you too were appointed.
Yes, Your Honor.
And you certainly have done yeoman work.
Thank you.
For your client.
Thank you very much.
So thank you so much. Thank you. And thank you as well, Stoplin. Thank you. Case is taken under advisement.